It's 5:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll talk to a farming reporter about the latest news in the ongoing raw milk debate here in Wisconsin.
First, we're talking about a new study that looks at how recessions affect the decision to have children. A lot of women decide to put off having children when the economy isn't doing so well. But new research shows that some women will never have children because of a recession.
Janet Curry joins us now. She's a professor of economics and public affairs at Princeton University, researching this issue. Janet, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks very much for having me.
So before this current research, it seems like it was kind of well known that at least during the recession itself, women tend to put off having babies. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. And there was a lot of publicity about it right in 2008, 2009. There was a very noticeable downturn in the number of babies.
So we're digging our way out of this recession. What made you decide to look at this data, look a little deeper into the long-term impact?
Well, we started off thinking about the effects of recession on people's health, and we had done some earlier work showing that places that had a lot of foreclosures and high unemployment had more heart attacks and strokes and things like that. So we thought, well, wouldn't it be interesting to see whether there's also an effect on babies if their mothers are very stressed due to economic conditions? And then when we started thinking about that, we realized, well, it's kind of hard to say what the effect is if you don't first know whether there's any change in who is having babies. And so we ended up looking into the fertility question.
Yeah, let's get into that. What did you find when you figured out whether the women, the families who put off having children during the recession would ever have children?
So the interesting thing is that different people react in a different way. And in particular, women who were young at the time of the recession, specifically in their early 20s, were more likely to not have any children. So that what that meant was that the effect grows over time because you are missing not only the baby that you didn't have today, but then the second baby or the third baby that you would have had later on. For older women, we didn't see that. So for older women, they would make up the lost baby later. And so what you'd see is bigger birth spacings and not fewer children.
So it sounds like the age group that's really hit is the one that's just entering the most likely childbearing years when the recession strikes.
Exactly. And I think one possibility is that people are at a kind of critical time of their life, and if they end up not going down one path, then they end up on another path entirely, and so do something else with their life.
Now, I know these are big numbers we're talking about and a lot of different factors going on, but do you have a sense of what's the baby gap? How many fewer babies are we having as a nation because of this?
Well, our estimate, so our research is based on past recessions, and we use that estimate to come up with a number for the current recession. And so our best guess, based on our research, is that there will be about 420,000 fewer babies as a result of the Great Recession, and about 160,000 more women who remain childless until age 40.
Interesting. So what is it, and maybe we're getting into the realm of speculation a little bit here, but what is it about hitting the recession at the beginning of the most likely childbearing years that makes it so that women ultimately never, in some cases, never have children?
Well, another finding was that people were also less likely to ever marry. Mm-hmm. And so that makes you think about the potential spouses. And we do know from previous research that men who graduate during recessions tend to have lower earnings for a long time afterwards, so there's a permanent negative effect on their income, and that could make them less attractive.
So we've seen a lot about the changing nature of family over recent years, but it still sounds like the most likely family group to get married would be that young woman a husband who is a good bread earner, maybe both of them have good paying jobs, and that's the most likely statistically to have kids, if I'm looking at the data right. So without that marriageable, that likely partner who's making good money to help raise a kid, that may be part of the factor in never having kids?
Yes, and actually we see that a lot, that, for example, marriage rates have fallen much more for poorer people than for wealthier people, and that's thought to be a really important factor.
And looking ahead, I still understand the basic, the starting point that we had there, that, okay, we put off childbearing, but the recession ends. We've got a slow, in this case, recovery. People are making money again. Why is it that that cohort doesn't just play catch-up 5 years down the road?
So that's a really good question, and one that I can't answer, you know, with any great certainty. But I do think for the older women, they're more likely to be in a situation where they have gotten married. Maybe they already have one child, so they put off a second child, but they're kind of already in the family building groove. Whereas for the young women, if they put off getting married, they put off having a first child, well, who knows, maybe they're on their way up the corporate ladder or something else when they get to their late 20s, and they just end up not going there.
Now, what kind of impact does this have on society at large? Again, we've been talking about the changing nature of family and child raising for a couple of decades now. What does this recession effect do?
I think it could possibly make it a little less normative to get married and have kids if people see that there are more people who don't. That's one possibility. I guess it could also have the reverse effect if people looked around and saw that there were a lot of people with regrets.
And I wonder, does this affect people of different socioeconomic classes differently? Are we talking about people at lower income levels being less likely to have kids, or is it across the board?
Well, so we know from other research that marriage rates are a lot lower for lower income people to begin with. For this particular study, I was using data from birth certificates, and birth certificates don't say what people's income is on them. So I don't really, there's no way to know that for sure.
We're talking to health economist Janet Curry about a new study showing that recessions can delay motherhood, in some cases, forever for some women.
And we're taking your calls on this. Did the recession play a role when you were deciding whether or not to expand your family or to have a family at all? And how do you think the economy affects family planning in the United States? Do you see this playing out in your own life? Call in at 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org.
Yeah, I'd love to hear your story now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up this discussion and take your calls in a few minutes. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive.
I'm Veronica Rickard. I'm here with Steve Paulson, and it is your gift that makes the difference. It makes WPR possible. Step up and be counted as a supporter with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And last hour, we had a good hour. We heard from 28 new and returning members. Thank you very much for those pledges.
And right now, another fantastic hour to become a member. We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $1,600. This generous match is from the WPRA board and a pair of sustaining members, and it means that they'll match every dollar that you give. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio.
And when you pledge, you will be entered into a drawing to win two tickets on a WPR trip. Donate any amount during our fall membership drive, and you could travel the Rhine River in Europe, kind of a holiday tour, or see Alaska's beautiful scenery, or experience the rich culture and cuisine of France.
The important thing is get your pledge doubled right now when we have this dollar-for-dollar match. It's a great opportunity at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
On the Ideas Network, you hear all kinds of different viewpoints from different guests and listeners who bring a unique perspective to the conversation as well, because there's so much good food for thought on these programs. You've probably had that that experience of, you know, you're talking to a friend and you say, you know, yesterday I heard on WPR, and, you know, you're off and running because, you know, you've learned something new and you want to share that. Well, it's time now to take action, to participate in making this show happen with your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, everyone who pledges this drive will be entered in a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. You can choose the Rhine River, Alaska, or France. You could be the lucky winner when you make a pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we should mention, you do not have to pledge to participate. You can send a postcard with your name, address, email, and telephone number to WPR Trip Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Enter by sending a postcard or, better yet, by making a pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, can I help you?
Yeah, I'd like a half-calf small mocha, soy milk, no whipped cream.
Sure, we'll get that for you right away. I see you're doing a search on your phone there. I'm curious, don't you think searching on the web is basically consuming information? But when we actually read a book, we're seeking knowledge?
What?
I mean, modern information theory, what the early computer scientists used when they invented the computer. It just stripped meaning out of everything, you know? Facts are nice, but ideas have real meaning.
Sure. Is that Boca ready yet?
Yeah, just a second. But we have time for one more question. Do you think science and poetry are related?
No.
Really? Not at all? Don't you want a bit of poetry in your own life?
Nope. Just my coffee.
Yes, Steve Paulson could be a barista. But isn't it better that he's on to the best of our knowledge? Your support makes WPR programs possible and gives you something to talk about over coffee. Give now. Here's someone to tell you how.
WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Veronica Rickert here with Steve Paulson. I guess, Steve, I hope you never make my coffee.
Apparently, I think, you know, obviously I have not missed my profession there.
You're better suited here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, we're here to ask for your support of WPR during this fall membership drive. Maybe your gift will be $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you decide on is the right amount.
You listen to WPR year-round. Now, donate the same way you listen by becoming a sustaining member. Make the decision once and you will make affordable contributions of, let's say, $10 or $20 a month for as long as you wish.
It's easy on your budget and it cuts down on paperwork. Don't delay. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, you hear those words, public radio. Have you ever actually stopped to think about what does public radio mean? Well, one way to answer that is public radio means listener-supported radio.
Well, we do appreciate business contributions and federal and state tax dollars. Listener support is the single largest source of WPR's budget. Your contribution of any amount really does matter to us. At WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have special incentive for you to make that pledge right now. We have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect from the WPRA and a pair of sustaining members. Your gift of $50 becomes $100. $100 turns into $200 and so on. You can do the math. Take advantage of this match and double your support for WPR programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And just in case you need another reason to give.
Yeah, we're going to make the deal even sweeter. Pledge any amount and you're automatically entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. If you win the drawing, you could choose between a holiday tour of Europe along the Rhine River, an Alaskan adventure, or maybe a trip to France. Double the impact of your pledge and enter that drawing right now by giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe giving a dollar a day is the right amount for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. When you think about it, a dollar a day is a great value. It's less than a cup of coffee or a soda or, let's say, a day of cell phone service.
A dollar a day comes out to $30 a month, and you can set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or your credit card. Make your pledge now in the amount that feels good in your budget and suits your listening at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, our dollar-for-dollar match is in effect right now, so a perfect time to give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of Central Time and all that you hear at WPR will go twice as far.
We are looking for 10 more pledges to reach our goal. But of course, we want to go all the way up and use that dollar for dollar match of $1,600. You can help us get there. Do your part. Support your listening by making a pledge. Become a member. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. We're continuing our conversation with health economist Janet Curry about her new study showing that recessions can delay motherhood forever in some cases for women.
Yeah, in her research, she found not only a temporary delay, but at least for a certain percentage of women who come of age in the midst of a recession, they might never have kids down the road. And we're taking your calls now. What do you think about this? Did the recession impact your family planning decisions? Did you put off having kids due to the bad economy and maybe the impact it had on your employment? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email talk@WPR.org. Janet, I want to look back historically a little bit. You mentioned that you've done research, compared this to previous recessions. Is this something that we pretty much always see? There's rough economic times, a recession or a depression, and a certain segment of the population then doesn't have children when they otherwise would have?
Well, the I guess the contribution of this study is it's fairly easy to see the decline in the short run, but then people weren't really sure what happened in the long run. And one reason for that is because there's so many other things that are going on that affect fertility. So we know that there's long-run trends, for example. So in this study, by following groups of women that we define by their year of birth and their state of birth, and looking for those same women in the birth records every year, we can basically count up how many babies that they ever had, and then we can look for dips in fertility for the ones that are affected by recessions compared to people born just before or just after. So that way we can try and separate what is really the effect of the economic fluctuations from what is part of some longer-term trend.
Well, that's an interesting detective story in a way, not just does the overall birth rate go down during these lean times and go up during the boom times, but actually trying to tease out how that age cohort does the rest of their potential childbearing years.
Yeah, and as far as I know, we're the only people that have ever said, okay, fine, let's just count up how many births those people had. We'll just follow over time the whole group and just count them up.
We'll take a caller now at 800-642-1234. We've got Gene on the line with us in Toma. Gene, hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Oh, what did you want to bring up, Gene?
Well, I wondered because many years ago, my grandmother told me that when things turned down, my grandfather was a mine up on the Gogebic Range in Montreal outside of Hurley. And she said whenever there was a layoff when things got slow or a strike, 9 months later, there would be a baby boom. And I actually challenged her a little bit later on, went and looked and compared records, and she was actually right. There would be a baby boom as a result of these miners not working as long in the hours they worked in the mines.
Gene,
and I'm wondering how that fits into this study.
Gene, thanks for that call. That might be so local. It might not show up in the data you're looking at, Janet.
Well, that's what I'm thinking as well, and it's a little bit different having a layoff than having a really big recession. So actually, particularly at that time, a lot of people who got laid off would have a pretty reasonable certainty of being called back to work, and so, you know, they might not like to be laid off, but it wasn't the same thing as totally losing your job and then not knowing whether or when you were going to have another one.
I don't know if you've started looking at this kind of data yet, but is there a corollary here in an economic boom? Are people more likely to have kids and more likely to start a career of lots of reproduction?
Well, that's a good question, actually. We haven't really looked at it that way, but I think that the way we're doing things would imply that that's true, that you would see higher fertility. And actually, so now I'm completely talking off the cuff because I haven't really thought about this before, but in the period just before the Great Recession, we had really low unemployment for a long period of time, and there was a lot of discussion about how birth rates in the U.S. were high compared to other places, and it's possible that there's a relationship there.
Well, you've done some unique and fairly novel detective work here in this research. What's next? What is the next question you're going to try to solve here?
Well, I think we might go back to our original question of trying to figure out whether the recession itself causes harm to children, basically by stressing their mothers. And so we're still working on that.
Well, Janet, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome. Thanks again for having me.
That was Janet Curry. She's a professor of economics and public affairs at Princeton University. She was with us to talk about a new study. You may have seen it. It's been around in the news a lot, looking at how recessions affect motherhood, not just in the short term, but maybe leading some women to never have kids.
This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Raw milk is back in the news. Coming up, we'll learn why some raw milk advocates are petitioning the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Right now, it is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Veronica Rickert here with Steve Paulson. Thank you to everybody who's a sustainer and everybody who's contributed during this drive or by mail. WPR relies on listeners like you. Your support is, in fact, the single largest piece of the budget. If you haven't given yet, now's the time at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now, up to $1,600. It's a great time to pledge because the WPRA and a pair of sustaining members will double every dollar you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support WPR. Double the impact of your pledge right now by giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And in case you need another reason to pledge, Veronica?
That's right. You can give it any amount, and you're entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You get to choose cruise along the Rhine River in Europe, maybe discover Alaska, or sample the French lifestyle. Double your donation. Get entered in that drawing at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, as a public radio listener, we know some things about you. We know you're smart. You want to know what's going on both in the news and in the culture around us, and we're right there for you, and we're right there with you exploring all the angles on Central Time.
We're grateful for your support. It makes all the stories you hear on the show possible. Give now at WPR. It makes a big difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Is listening to WPR worth $4 a day to you? Consider becoming a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle. 9XM members are listeners who contribute $1,200 or more a year to support WPR programs. $1,200 works out to less than $4 a day.
If you find that you've been getting more value from WPR in the last year, maybe consider a contribution that puts you in the 9XM Leadership Circle. Make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And here's one way to think about a pledge drive. Contributing to WPR is kind of like an old-fashioned potluck supper. Your contribution added together with everyone else's creates something everyone can enjoy.
So let's have a potluck here. It's dinner time, right? Here we are on Wisconsin Public Radio. Altogether, listeners make up the single largest piece of our budget. And you can add something to the pot right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Joy Cardine. I'll be taking a WPR trip to Alaska, and you could join me. Here's how. This membership drive, we're having a Choose Your Own Adventure drawing. If you're the lucky winner, you and your best friend can choose from among three possible trips. When you choose Alaska, we'll take a cruise along the coast, making stops to visit towns, glaciers, and gardens. I hope we'll see plenty of wildlife at a safe distance. Your pledge of any amount gets you entered, but no contribution is necessary to win. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Learn about all the trips and the fine print at WPR.org/drawing. Or enter with your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Good luck.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this fall membership drive. Veronica Rickard here with Steve Paulson asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift of $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
Now, maybe you have never given to Wisconsin Public Radio before because you don't think that it really makes a difference. Well, think again. Listener donations make up the single largest piece of our budget, but that doesn't mean we're asking you for a huge gift.
Many first-time donors give $5 a month for their WPR listening, but you get to decide the amount that works for you, what suits your budget and how much you listen, and then make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So you can seize the day. A pledge right now while you're thinking about it. It takes just a few minutes to contribute.
You'll have the good feeling of supporting the programs that you love. Join, renew, or make an extra gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, a pledge of any amount enters you into that drawing, the drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. And sustainers, you can sit back and relax. You are automatically entered, but a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. You tune in to Wisconsin Public Radio every day, and there's always something interesting on. You always learn something new. Think about what that's worth to you, and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, an extra incentive, something that you might find useful, a pledge of $5 a month or more will get you the handy WPR logo secure ID tags. You put one on your key ring, stick the other to your phone.
And then if you ever lose your phone or keys, the tags will help you get them back. Protect your stuff and your public radio station when you pledge $5 a month at $60 or more and ask for the ID tags at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. The important thing is to make that pledge. Support the station that you listen to and the station that you love at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. Raw milk has been a subject of debate around Wisconsin for years. Now raw milk advocates are petitioning the highest court in Wisconsin in favor of raw milk sales. Petitions filed Monday to the Wisconsin Supreme Court say buying unpasteurized products straight from the farm is a constitutional right.
Here with us now to talk about the news is Joel McNair. He's the publisher of Graze Magazine, a publication about alternative livestock agriculture. Joel, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon.
So what do we know about what raw milk advocates are saying in their petition to our Supreme Court here in Wisconsin?
Basically what they're saying is that they have a constitutional right to provide their product to consumers, and that consumers have the constitutional right to choose the food and the source of their food.
And looking back, this is an issue that is not new to us here at Wisconsin Public Radio. We've been hearing about raw milk for quite a while. Can you explain the controversy behind this issue, please?
Well, raw milk is legal in Wisconsin. There's nothing in the books that says that raw milk is illegal in Wisconsin. And for many years, the state regulators, the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Protection, did not really pay much attention to the issue. They put some pressure on some people. They asked some questions. But by and large, people were allowed to provide certain amounts of raw milk directly to consumers. Then at the turn of the century or a few years later, there became a much greater consumer interest in natural foods, whole foods, what were perceived as healthy foods. And you started having people, more farmers, selling more product directly to consumers that had not been pasteurized. And at that point, it started gaining attention both of the Department of Agriculture and of the dairy processing industry in the state of Wisconsin. So at that point, the State Department of Agriculture started asking harder questions, started changing its policies toward raw milk production in the state, and it's kind of cascaded ever since then. It's been a cat and mouse game for several years now.
And we've seen this go back and forth, including in some lower courts. What have other courts said about whether farmers can sell raw milk to consumers?
By and large, the lower courts have been negative toward that. That's why the farmers in these cases are going to the Supreme Court to basically, it has come to the point where they are finding no other recourse than to assert their constitutional rights to sell raw milk. Vernon Hershberger, who I'm sure that you're fully aware of and many of your listeners are aware of, did basically win most of the counts of his court case last year in Sauk County. Basically, it was because the jury did not like state authorities coming down on a dairy farm as if it was a crack house, as many people who were involved with the case said.
And that was a little different twist. Instead of just selling to consumers, he in effect had a buying club, I gather, where his customers purchased cows with him, and then he distributed the milk from the cows to them. The state ultimately didn't like that, even not even a normal retail transaction of raw milk.
Well, you know, and the Zinnaker Farm, one of the parties that are related to the latest Supreme Court case, essentially is doing something quite similar. They were found to have, or at least the state, withdrew their milk license, their milk producer license, a few years ago after some people were sickened purportedly by drinking the milk. And so a group of the of their former customers or a group of their customers did form basically a buying club or a herd share agreement so that the Zinnakers did not own the cows from which the milk was being provided. The state agriculture department called that a sham agreement.
Now, what is the case for raw milk? Why do advocates say we should be able to purchase and obviously consume raw milk?
It's part of the healthy foods, the whole foods movement. There have been certain studies indicating or at least suggesting that certain milk properties are destroyed or greatly altered by pasteurization. For instance, certain enzymes. There has been some population studies, some epidemiological studies in Europe in particular, that may indicate that people drinking raw milk have certain lesser instances of health problems. That has not been confirmed necessarily, especially in this country. Very little of that work has been done. And it's really just a part of an overall movement in this country of a certain segment of producers wanting to get closer to the source of their food.
Now, when we've tackled this issue in the past, we've heard from county health officials almost unanimously worried about the availability of raw milk, worried about diseases that can be spread by unpasteurized milk. What have advocates said to that in response?
Well, advocates have said that, yes, most of them will admit that there is the potential for problems when drinking raw milk, if it is handled improperly, if it is produced improperly. What advocates will say, however, is that this can be done. We allow the sale of alcohol and tobacco in this country, even though it has been very much proven that that leads to health problems for millions and millions of people. And also that there has been no great death toll from raw milk over the years. A few years ago, there was an outbreak from one cantaloupe farm in Colorado where a listeria killed 33 people in one instance. And raw milk deaths nowhere nearly approached that over many decades. Certainly, there have been health problems associated. I myself have been sickened by raw milk. So, yes, there needs to be an awareness that there can potentially be a problem. I understand where the health authorities are coming from. However, this thing is out there. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control estimate that about 3% of the U.S. public is consuming raw milk at this point. If that's true, that amounts to more than 9 million people, and you're not going to get that cat out of that bag or back into that bag at this point.
You've mentioned that you have been sickened because of raw milk, but is it something that you have gone back to and still consume yourself?
Frankly, no. I'm not a regular consumer of raw milk. This was on an out-of-state trip. It was at a farm that does not sell raw milk, to my knowledge, and it is not equipped to produce raw milk, in my opinion. And it was just an instance of me stopping in and drinking a glass of milk at a lunch table, and it was just something that I do in the course of business sometimes.
Briefly, is there a right way and a wrong way to provide raw milk to consumers?
Yes, there is. It starts right at the soil level, having healthy soils that do not have a lot of commercial inputs in general. It means not what we call pushing our cows for high levels of production, having a more natural diet for the cow, and at least as importantly, having a very clean facilities, both where the cows are kept, where they are milked, where the milk is handled in the ultimate milking facility, and then finally in how it is brought to the consumer, how the consumer obtains it, and then how the consumer stores it before that person consumes it.
I believe this is the first time raw milk is making it, or at least being petitioned, to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Do you think that the court will take this up? And if so, do you have thoughts on how they might rule?
I have been told that the court accepts 15% of all of the petitions. So I guess the odds would say no, and I have no guess as to how this court would rule.
And we've seen this come back and forth in the legislature. One law was passed only to be vetoed by previous Governor Jim Doyle. If the court doesn't give answers, do you think advocates will take this to lawmakers again?
Oh, certainly they will. And what's disturbing about this is it's just a crazy situation. You have, like I said, this is out there. People are going to consume it. I fully recognize why the dairy industry is worried about this. I fully recognize why health officials are worried about it. But in my mind, this is out there. It needs to be dealt with through rulemaking, through regulation, and through self-policing, especially of some of the smaller producers who do not want onerous regulations, do not need onerous regulations, but really do need to need to make sure that this product is indeed safe for consumers.
Joel, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
That's Joel McNair. He's the publisher of Graze Magazine, a publication about alternative livestock agriculture. He was with us to talk about the news that raw milk advocates are petitioning the Wisconsin Supreme Court to take up that issue. Well, one more reminder today. It is our fall membership drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Steve Paulson joins us in the studio now to remind you that your support is an essential piece of the funding for Central Time and, to the best of our knowledge, and all the programs you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio. It's a time for you to take action. Become a Wisconsin Public Radio contributor with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, a pledge of any amount will automatically enter you into the drawing to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You could choose between a holiday tour of Europe along the Rhine River, or an Alaskan adventure, or a trip to France. Make that pledge and enter the drawing right now by giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And hey, some great news. You are keeping the momentum up on this pledge drive. We met that dollar-for-dollar match we had to start the hour. Thank you so much. You made quick work of it. If you haven't pledged yet, though, how about you? Still time to make your pledge during Central Time today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We've had a lot of great information and content about Wisconsin this week. I talk about raw milk, and this is an issue that comes up again and again. We talked about the Fermentation Festival yesterday, Steve. Talk about Wisconsin's landscape and food traditions, the old becoming new again. We try on Central Time and the Ideas Network as a whole to bring you into a connection with all of Wisconsin, from talking about Milwaukee schools earlier to the farms and everywhere in between. Support those conversations now with a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that interview you just did, Rob. And, you know, an issue like raw milk, it hits home for Wisconsin. It sort of touches on, you know, so many things, mm-hmm. Farming, the economy, the health food industry, food safety. It kind of brings it all together. And, you know, the very real issue out here. And, you know, what do you do about it? What's safe? And, you know, what's reasonable? What's healthy? And, you know, how do we make this safe for people? So just a great example of the kind of issue that you hear on Central Time. And that's a reason why it's worth supporting right now. And you can make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552.
And, you know, maybe you're interested in playing a larger role in support of WPR. The 9XM Leadership Circle is a growing group of listeners who contribute $1,200 or more a year to support Wisconsin public radio programs.
Leadership Circle members value the compelling public radio programming that so many people in our communities rely on. They want to make sure it will be here today and tomorrow for all who listen. If you'd like to increase your support to WPR and join the 9XM Leadership Circle, go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So I've been living in Wisconsin for roughly the last 20 years. I came here for school. I think I became a member when I was in my mid-20s. Whenever I could, I would try to send $20 or something and whatever I could manage at that time. I've always imagined that it would be fun to be a philanthropist, and if I thought something was really a wonderful cause that I could give them $1 million, just, you know, open my checkbook. There are not nearly as many zeros involved, but in a small way, I'm a small-scale philanthropist. It definitely feels like money that's going to a good cause. When I became a sustainer, it felt like there was an additional connection. To me, it's a no-brainer. When I became a sustainer, it just made things that much better. Sort of like the way it felt when I got married a couple years ago. I loved him a lot, but when I married him, it felt even that much better. My name is Lisa, and I live in Monona, Wisconsin. I really enjoy being a sustainer, and I encourage you to do the same.
Make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or with a call to 888-202-2552. Rob Ferret here with Steve Paulson asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during our fall membership drive. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate it and we count on your gift.
And you know what? It's really easy to do. Giving takes just a few minutes of your time. You tell us your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, how you would like to pay. You can give in one lump sum, or better yet, become a monthly sustainer. No matter how you choose to give or how much you give, use the next few minutes to support the station that you count on. You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, a lot of us are committed to making our communities better. For example, maybe you volunteer your time. You know, you recycle. You help out somebody in need. Well, making a financial contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio makes our communities better, too.
Your investment, together with donations from other people, makes the news, the music, and the talk that you hear on WPR available to everyone. We're proud to be an important part of the Wisconsin community. Help us stay strong with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hey, we had a goal of getting 16 pledges this hour. Ha-ha, I say, because we have 30 already. That is great. Wonderful. Keep that momentum going. Send us out on a great note on this Tuesday edition of Central Time with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'll say it again, 888-202-2552. Another great reason to become a member, Steve.
Absolutely. We are in the home stretch here on Central Time. Just a couple of minutes left to ask for your support. Pick up that phone right now or go to your computer and make that pledge. Show your support for the wonderful news and entertainment and cultural reporting here on Central Time. And you can make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And any contribution of any amount automatically gets you entered into that drawing for your choice, if you win, of one of three trips along the Rhine River to France or to Alaska. With your pledge of any amount right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And think about all that you get on Wisconsin Public Radio. I mean, not just Central Time, but the NPR news magazines, up to the minute reports on various things happening around the state, cultural reporting, talk about books and authors, wonderful things to support. And you can do that by making a contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.